This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yunfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. So inshallah, just before I forget, because of Maghrib inshallah, so next week we're going to bring the time back or down to 6:30 inshallah. So I will try to remind us all of that at the end of the lesson, but inshallah, so I don't forget, 6:30 inshallah, beginning next week. Our hadith today is hadith number 11. And it is a parable that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gives. And it's an important and it's a beautiful realization, because parables convey to us messages and concepts that may be difficult for us to comprehend. But once Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they use a parable, they bring it very close to you in ways that would not be possible otherwise. You really truly understand it then. And this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحْمِي عَبْدَهُ الْمُؤْمِنَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَهُوَ يُحِبُّهُ كَمَا تَحْمُونَ مَرِيضَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ تَخَافُونَهُ عَلَيْهِ. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, indeed Allah protects his believing servant from the world, from the dunya, while loving him, and let's emphasize this, while loving him, as you protect your sick from food and drink because you fear for them, because you fear the food and drink for them. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here is holding a comparison, is saying Allah will protect his servant from the dunya to save him from it, as you would protect a sick person of yours whom you love from eating and drinking, which they also love, but it's not good for them. So this hadith, right, for you to really appreciate it, you must also understand few things about our love for the dunya, where it comes from, what it is for, how much of it is useful and not, and then what we have to do about it. So the first realization is Allah Azza wa Jal made us naturally inclined towards the dunya. It's naturally appealing. No one has to teach you this. Eating and drinking, beautiful sights, beautiful sounds. The dunya had been beautified in our eyes. And Allah Azza wa Jal said so in the Quran. زُيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Is it the ayah on page 116 and 117. So the love of the attractive things is beautified for people. And then Allah Azza wa Jal lists the things that have been made beautiful. But in totality, Allah is talking about the dunya. Different parts of it, different aspects of it have been made beautiful to you. In your eyes, to your ears, to your mind, to your heart, to your body, to your soul, you are naturally inclined and attracted to it. And that attraction has a purpose. It does something, which is what? You will not be able to cultivate and build this land, build this earth. You will not be able to have children, and there is a religious reason for that. You will not be able to truly serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you have some sort of attraction to the dunya. Right? Otherwise, you will not marry and you will not have children. And if that is not available, there will be no progeny. There will be no generations. But Allah Azza wa Jal intends that should be human beings populating this earth, one generation after the other. If you're not inclined, you may not eat and drink, but you are attracted to it. So it serves benefits to humanity that we love the dunya. But it also serves as a test. So loving the dunya is a test. And because we love it so much, we are so propelled towards it, that if we allow ourselves to take it without moderation, it becomes an addiction. becomes an obsession. And there should be a difference between taking from the dunya for the sake of a higher goal, taking from the dunya with moderation, with a purpose, or indulging in it in such a way that it ultimately destroys you and destroys the earth as well. Because if you take without moderation, with absolute greed, you will never be satisfied. And that is also what the Prophet ﷺ said. And we're going to link, inshallah, this to the hadith, to the main hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, لو كان لابن آدم واد من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديا آخر ولا يملأ فاه إلا التراب. If the child of Adam had a valley of gold, he would love another one. And only the only thing that fills his mouth is sand. That is, if you imagine that you could have as much as a big valley of gold, you will never say that that is enough for me. Naturally, as a child of Adam, as a human being, you will never say that is enough for me. But you will crave another valley. And your craving intensifies with extra possessions, right? The more that you have, it doesn't sate your desire. In fact, it inflames it. So the more that you have, you'll say, I want another million. Because now you're competing with millionaires, right? I want another million. And I want to enter another club of the multi-millionaire. And then I want to be a billionaire. And I'm competing with another person. So there is no end to that competition. So the more you have, the more you want. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the only thing that will fill the mouth of the child of Adam, or the eye of the mouth of Adam, is what? Sand. Meaning physically, that's the only thing that fills it. When you die, that fills it. But otherwise, it's a bottomless pit. You will always want more and more. And also to couple, and add to our understanding, he also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, about money. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْخُذُهُ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّهِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ مَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ لَمْ يُبَارَكْ لَهُ فِيهِ وَكَانَ كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who takes it, meaning wealth, unlawfully, and another narration, the one who takes it greedily will not be blessed, that thing will not be blessed for them, and he will be like the one who eats but is never full. Right? So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith, that if you take it from haram, or it's halal, but you take it with greed, meaning you're waiting for your salary but with greed, you're waiting for that inheritance and it's halal, but with greed. Because of that greed that you have, that thing will never be satisfactory. But if the one who takes it, right, not bi ishrafi nafsin, now I'm looking for, I can't wait to get my hands on it, but graciously, reliant on Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that this is not the beginning and the end of wealth, or the beginning and end of happiness. It's a tool that Allah had given to me, and then you could take from it, and you can leave some of it. So when there is satisfaction, there'll be barakah in it. So it two things. It has to come from the halal, and you cannot handle it with greed. If you handle it with greed, or it comes from haram, Allah will not bless it for you. And you'll be eating and eating, and you're never satisfied. Just like a person who would physically eat and eat, but he is never full. So that tells you that the dunya is such that if you run after it, nothing is enough. If you run away from it, a little bit of it is enough for you. That is the nature of the dunya. And it's, subhanAllah, a good analogy to make with food, right? Because here is another hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that you hear often quoted and repeated. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ma mal'a adamiyun wi'a'an sharran min batn. A human being does not fill a container worse than a stomach. Okay, if you have a lot of containers at home, right? A lot of things that you can fill. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying the worst thing that you can fill in the containers that you own is what? The stomach that you have. Right? The more you fill it, the worse that you will be. And he said then, continues, it is sufficient for a child of Adam to eat a few morsels that keep his back upright. Enough. Take only eat enough. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَبُدَّ فَاعِلًا, meaning if you want to go beyond that, and if you really want to eat more, then one third for his food, one third for his drink, and one third for his breathing, meaning it remains empty. So you see here, then, your relationship with food is like your relationship with the dunya. You're supposed to take from it only what you need and leave the rest. If you eat a lot, what happens to you? You become what? You become sick. Right? You feel it sometimes. If you overeat, you say, I can't move. Right? I can't sleep. I need to take something to counteract what I ate. And that is amazing because we ate it. It's not an external sickness that we need to medicate. We ate it, and we ate too much of it, and now I need to medicate myself. Whereas if you stopped, you wouldn't need the medication. That's true with a lot of food consumption. If you stopped, you would not need that medication. So the dunya also makes you sick in the same exact way. If you take a lot from it, it's going to make you sick. If you take enough, you'll remain healthy. And you can't live without the dunya at all. You still need to eat and drink and marry and have children and have a job and earn halal money and spend from that halal money. So that's the enough from the dunya. But if it turns into an addiction, if it turns into an obsession, it will be a person who's eating, is never full, and all of these things are making him sick, right? So that is a relationship that is hard to have because of the greed. And also because of the assumptions that people have. And it's an early assumption, and it's a stubborn assumption, which is that if I have the dunya, then I'm favored and I'm blessed. And if I'm denied, then I'm not favored and I'm not blessed. In fact, I am cursed. Allah is angry with me. I'm unlucky. I'm unfortunate. Maybe I shouldn't even be living. So we tie, and in the hands of a lot of people, we tie our fortunes in the dunya to our status and our value, and sometimes even to how we are with Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal here, when he says in this ayah, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا, he says, as for the human, when their Rabb tests them, that it is a test, by giving them honor and gifts, they will say, my Rabb has honored me. But when Allah tests them by limiting their provision, they will say, my Rabb has humiliated me. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, kalla, no, it's not as you think. So how many of us today, right, if we intend to get married, and it's a natural, again, that's not a perpetual part of the dunya, we want to have children, or we want to be successful, or we at least want to have enough money to be able to support our families and ourselves. If we don't have this, and we strive and we make dua, and we don't get that, and we're not as successful, we're not thriving in our heads as other people are, we don't have the things that we thought we're supposed to have to make us happy. When we don't have this, what do we say? How do we title that loss? We say, Allah must hate me, and Allah is angry with me, and I am extremely unfortunate. And you tie worldly fortunes and success to, as we said, value as a human being, and to the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to the hate of Allah. See how much money he had given to them, he must love them. See how much they have, he must love them. They are so happy and I am not. They're so successful, they get whatever they want and I don't. Allah must love them and be on their side. What did I do to deserve Allah's anger, Allah's wrath? I'm a good person. Yeah, I'm better than so and so. These are the comparisons that, first of all, demoralize you. They kill you when you make them, because they sap you of iman and tawakkul and rida and content. But they're also founded on a wrong principle, which is that this is not related to that. Being rich and successful and having families and children and being famous, all of this is not tied to Allah's favor, and it's not tied to Allah's love. Allah's love is not connected. So the hadith on the same page was 119. Allah Azza, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَسَمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقَكُمْ كَمَا قَسَمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ. Allah has distributed among you your character as He did your provisions. Meaning, as Allah had made some rich and some poor and some people in the middle, Allah Azza wa Jal, when it came to akhlaq as well, akhlaq is what? Character and manners. He also divided those like He divided wealth and money. He gave some a lot of it and some a little bit and some are in the middle. So He also divided that as He divided money. And here is the pivotal part. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الدُّنْيَا مَنْ يُحِبُّ وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ. And Allah Azza wa Jal grants to the dunya, this world, to those whom He loves and those whom He does not love. وَلَا يُعْطِي الْإِيمَانَ إِلَّا مَنْ يُحِبُّ. And He only gives iman to the one that He loves. So this categorically tells you from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is supposed to leave no doubt in your mind and mine, but the problem is that we forget, right? Not that we don't know. The problem is that we forget, so we need reminders. And that's why we tell everybody, including ourselves, you have to keep reading the Quran, and you have to keep reading the Hadith, and you have to keep attending halaqas and study circles and learning, because you will learn this today. You'll forget it a month from now, right? Then you need another reminder. So that's another khutbah, another class, another thing that you take to remind you of this. So when He said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah gives the dunya to everybody. So you cannot look at someone who has it or someone who does not have it and think that translates into Allah's love or Allah's hate. Right? And think of the prophets of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa sallam. Were they the richest? They were not. So does that mean that Allah Azza wa Jal disliked them? That was not. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, especially in the beginning of the da'wah, in Mecca definitely, and in the beginnings of Medina, until things changed towards the end. Right? The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam did not have enough. Okay? Dates, bad dates, to fill his tongue. Now we do today have more than that, right? But the best of the best, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you understand that we probably, unless somehow we've seen it but we didn't realize it, we probably did not see bad dates. Because the ones that you buy in the grocery store and supermarkets are selected for your consumption, and they're supposed to be the best of the best, right? You haven't seen the type of dates that people want to throw away, or they hardly are worth anything. So those, min al-daql, that's what they're called, he did not have enough of those to fill his stomach, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he also, Aisha radiallahu anha, said that 2 months would pass, and a fire would not be lit in the house of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. A fire would not be lit, meaning that what would he be eating? Dates and water. Right? That's it. There's no meat. There's nothing else. So this is an example of someone whom Allah Azza wa Jal loved so much, but he didn't have the dunya. But he didn't complain about it. And he did not run after it. And he did not think that my worth and my value is tied to it. And he did not connect his religion to it, thinking that if Allah gives me this, then I'll be grateful. And if He does not give me the dunya or individual parts of it, then I will lose my gratitude. The gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal was because Allah is Allah. And because of iman. The dunya was immaterial in that understanding. Now, the parable here that the Prophet ﷺ used, which is the sick person who is being denied food, gives us an understanding of how the dunya could be a source of sickness. Right? And in fact, the competition or the main competition in our hearts against the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is the love of the dunya. That's the thing that takes you away from the akhirah. Indulgence in the dunya, loving it, wanting to spend all of your time here, worrying only about it, working only for it, takes you away from Allah and the hereafter. So the love of the dunya, when it is paramount, dominant in the heart, that's its sickness. And it needs to rid itself of that sickness in order to be healthy, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more that you have of the dunya, the more that you will be addicted to it, and the more that you will be addicted to it, the more that you can't let go of it, and the sicker it will make you. So I was just reading that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he saw someone, a sahabi, and he was going to buy meat. So he asked him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to buy meat. He says, it's fine. He saw him the next day. He says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to buy meat. He says, 2 days in a row you're buying meat. He took his durra and he hit him with it, his stick, and he hit him with it. He says, go and take dates and water and restrain and refrain from eating meat every single day, because it will have an attraction. I mean, if you become addicted to it, idmanul lahmi, if you become addicted to it, it will attract you so much you can't let go of it. So he hit him and he said, go eat dates. Now Umar radiallahu anhu was not saying to him it's haram, but what was he doing? That's the discipline of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Every time you feel like it, you're gonna eat it, then how can you say no to yourself? You have to teach yourself to say no. And especially there are certain things in the dunya, once you are addicted to them, you can't let go of them. So it does become like a sickness. So also that parable that the Prophet ﷺ was talking about, the sick who desire that particular food or water, they may think to themselves, I don't want anything else but this. Right? You know, like if you might be sick, and you crave something, and I know some have this wisdom that if a sick person desires something, let them eat it, it's good for them, right? But that's not always the case. So if a sick person says, the only thing I feel like eating is this, and you know that it's going to make them sicker than they are. They can't see it, but you can. So the person who's addicted to the dunya, who's in the middle of it, who thinks that he's happy because he has all of it, doesn't see his sickness. But who sees it? People on the outside. Right? So if you have a greedy, capitalist, lifestyle, frivolous mind who always wants the dunya, you may not think that there is anything wrong with it. And you think that the more that I consume, the better that I will feel. But it's just like a junk person or an addict who's feeding a habit, thinking that as long as I'm feeding it, I'm happy and I'm okay. But you're actually making yourself sicker and sicker. So you need to listen to someone who's on the outside. And that person could be a healthy person who's advising you that this is too much. Or you listen to Allah Azza wa Jal and listen to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell you to do what? Wean yourself off the dunya and restrict its access to your heart and its access to you, your mind. And if you're being protected, you'll complain about it. That sick person, by his caretaker, he tells them, you can't drink this and you can't eat that. They'll complain, right? How come you're denying me this? And that is exactly what we do. We may not be conscious of it. That's exactly what we do when we want something and Allah doesn't give it to you. And you say, why? Give it to me. Why did you take so-and-so from me? Or why did you give so-and-so to me? That could work both ways, right? Why is it that I'm not as, right? Why is it that I did not get what I want, exactly how I wanted? So at that point, you and I are sick, and we're complaining about the one who's protecting our health, who's Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? That's what it is. But why are we complaining? Because we're attached to this thing. We can't see anything but that thing. I want to eat that food. I want to drink that drink. And I'm not seeing the care of Allah Azza wa Jalla, who's denying me these things for my own good. So that's what the complaining is about. And subhanAllah, we also deny ourselves things because they're not beneficial. We do this all the time. Anyone who's dieting, anyone who's on a meal plan, anyone who thinks that this and this and this are harmful, so I'm going to stay away from them, even though the media glamorizes that consumption, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to take drugs. I'm not going to eat haram, this and that, even though people do. Or I'm going to limit my calories, or limit my fat, or limit my carbs, or limit whatever it is, though I like it. So when the self tells you, right, when the self tells you, I want to eat this, what do you say to it? No. But why? I really want to eat it. Why? It's good for you. So you even do that to yourself, right? So when Allah Azza wa Jal does that to you, understand the wisdom that is behind it, that you also mirror what Allah Azza wa Jal is doing. So try to kind of expand your view and exit your own narrow self and see how Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting and defending you. And that takes us to the next point, that Allah Azza wa Jal, in that denying people the dunya, He is protecting them. So Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُ. Allah defends the believers. Allah defends the believers. And Allah's defense and protection is complete. The defense and protection of Allah Azza wa Jal is complete. Like if you think of an insurance policy or bodyguards or whatever, who can only partially protect you. But Allah's protection is complete and is proportional to one's iman. So the greater your iman, the greater is Allah's protection. So for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the beginning in Medina, he had guards. And it makes sense for him to be protected, right? With guards, right? Until Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And Allah will protect you from people. And Allah will protect you from people. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right, kind of opened the door, or that curtain actually. He just kind of removed the curtain and spoke to the guard outside, and he says, go home. Meaning, I don't need you anymore. Where does that protection come from? Allah Azza wa Jal. So the greater your iman, the greater Allah's defense. It descends and it surrounds and it's complete, physical and non-physical. So Allah Azza wa Jal protects you from a lot of harm. Ones that you notice and ones that you don't notice. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal says that you have مُعَقِّبَات, meaning you have an angel ahead and an angel behind protecting you with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah sends you that protection and you have it with you at all time. And there are a lot of harm that Allah protects you from physically, things that you know and things you do not know. And Allah also defends you emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. Just think of the fact that you have the Quran to ground you in understanding that whatever happened is destined, and whatever lost can be compensated, and that you could rely on Allah Azza wa Jal all the time, and you can talk to Him all the time. So Allah Azza wa Jal, when He sends iman, patience, tawakkul, forgiveness, generosity to your heart, love between you and the believers, that is all Allah's protection. And part of that protection that Allah wants from you or for you is protection from the dunya. Because too much of it will pollute you. Too much of it will take away your iman. يعني إذا فتحت باب شغل في الدنيا فتح لك أبوابا أخرى. It says if you open a door of work in the dunya, or distractions, let's call it, a distraction, distracting door of the dunya, it opens other distracting doors. Whatever you go into in the dunya, you open one door, it leads to another. Not only one, several. You open one of them, it leads to several others. And it doesn't stop. The more money you have, the more that you have to worry about it. The more that you have to spend time protecting it. The more that you have to spend time defending yourself because of it. The less you have, the more time that you have to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, does that preclude being rich? You could be rich, but you don't be preoccupied with the dunya. You could be rich, meaning that I could have it or I could lose it. I have it for Allah Azza wa Jal, and I spend it for Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's not dominant in my heart. It does not make me, and it does not break me. Then yeah, you could be rich. Some of the Sahaba, they were rich, but you understand how they were rich, and it's not the model that we have today. So for most people, that is very difficult, and dunya is very contaminating and very polluting. So, but if we understand that having less of it, as the hadith indicates, that having less of it could mean or be interpreted as a love of Allah Azza wa Jal manifesting itself in your life because He's protecting you from distractions and protecting you from disbelief and from hypocrisy and from being a servant of the dunya. If you interpret that loss as love of Allah Azza wa Jal, you could really easily be content with whatever you have, even if you don't have a lot. Because what replaces it is an intense feeling of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His protection and His involvement in your life, guiding it and steering it into the right direction. So if it's between the two, Iman and dunya, and Allah wants to give you Iman, should you not be content with Iman instead of desiring more of a thing that will vanish ultimately? So having that in mind is beautiful. And Naam. And there's here an example of sacrifice, and though that I mentioned here that the hadith is weak, but I said that it does reflect the sacrifice of the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Mus'ab ibn Umayr as he is approaching wearing untanned sheepskin that he tied around his waist with a rope. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Look at this man whom Allah Azza wa Jalla had filled his heart with light. I have seen him with his parents as they were providing him with the best of food and drink. And I have seen him wearing a suit that he bought, or it was bought for him for 200 dirhams. Then the love of Allah and his messenger ﷺ invited him to the state that you see him in." Meaning he's saying ﷺ, Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu was rich, and he is son of two rich parents. And one suit that he had radiallahu anhu cost that much money. And then now you see him in a state that he only has sheepskin around him that he had tied a rope around, which is barely anything. So he gave up willingly, right? Not that Allah took it away from him in the sense of you're going to be poor despite what you like. No, willingly he gave up all of this to embrace Islam and be with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And as a price, he paid a price for it by losing the support of his parents and losing all that money. But he did not interpret that loss or that poverty as hate. In fact, they were willing to give this up for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So maybe we are, and maybe we're not at the level where we can make such a sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That I can say, if I want to be a better Muslim, I'll leave much of the dunya and head towards Allah Azza wa Jal. But at least let us take the first step towards understanding that, yes, when we don't have it, when we are denied, Allah Azza wa Jal is not telling us that He hates us. Allah Azza wa Jal is redirecting us towards what benefits us and away from what is harmful. And we have also to, and I want to see, okay. We have for that, right, to be able to do this, to protect ourselves from the dunya, you have to leave a portion of it that is from the halal so that you have power over it. That is, as Umar, you know, radiallahu anhu said, you're not going to always buy whatever you wish. And you're not supposed to eat whatever you feel like. And you're not supposed to always go whatever you feel like. And you're not supposed to always have the best of the best and the most expensive and the most of the most expensive things. You must train yourself and discipline yourself by saying, I want, but I will not. Of course, the first distance between you and the dunya is haram. And that's an obligation. You have to leave the haram, all of it. There's another step between you and the dunya, which is the suspicious. The suspicious, the not clear matters. It could be this or not. Mushtabihat. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that leaving the mushtabihat is a protection from haram. When you indulge in them, you'll ultimately fall into the haram. So that's the next level. But we're here also talking about another level of leaving the dunya, which is leaving the highest and the most expensive of brands and lifestyles. So I'm not enslaved to the dunya, and I know that I can say no to it. So if you're going to buy something, maybe one time you're buying something that is expensive, good for you. The next time, no. Deny yourself. The next time, say that you're going to go somewhere and you're going to be humble in your dress. Humble in the bag, humble with the shoes, humble with the scarf. Humble with what, how you're presenting yourself so that you know that you have power over the dunya and you don't see yourself through what you possess. So humility and tawadu is necessary. And when you train yourself to let go of it, it's easier to let go of the rest of it. Or if Allah tests you and He takes it, it's easy to let go of it because you've trained yourself. Just like someone, right, who's fasting, it's easy for them to diet because you've trained yourself to eat less and to be a master over your cravings. But if you teach yourself that whenever I crave, I'm going to eat and drink, fasting is hard. So the dunya is like fasting. Train yourself to stay away from it and portions of it and humble yourself and let go of the excessive parts, expensive parts of the dunya so that you protect your iman and you free yourself to focus on the akhirah. And if you happen to lose something, it doesn't devastate. And it doesn't kill, right? So the ayah also that, and it's going to come up, inshallah, later. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. This is what Allah says in the Quran. If you truly love Allah, then follow me. And following who? Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then follow me, and Allah will love you and forgive you your sins, and Allah is all-forgiving, all-merciful. And that is the ayah that tests your love. And we have to keep reminding ourselves as we go through this book of this ayah. That is, if you say, I want to love Allah, or I want Allah to love me, there's always a price, there's always a sacrifice, there is always a test. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow me. Then follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, because that will be a sign that you love Allah more than you love yourself and the dunya, and that will bring you Allah's love. So as we said, because the main competition is the love of the dunya, if Allah says do, and the dunya says otherwise, if you love the dunya too much, you're not gonna listen to Allah. And that will be a demonstration that I love the dunya more than Allah. So how will you decrease the love of the dunya? By taking less of it. And focusing less on it, right? And enjoying more the opposite, which is the company of Allah Azza wa Jal and His book. So the Noon, rahimahullah, he said, one of the marks, من علامات المحب لله ترك كل ما شغل عن الله عز وجل. So one of the marks of one who loves Allah Azza wa Jal is for them to leave anything that distracts them and takes them away from Allah Azza wa Jal. حَتَّى يَكُونَ الشُّغْلُ كُلُّهُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدًا. Until your preoccupation, until your time is exclusive to Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So if you imagine yourself in love with someone, right? Let's imagine a human being. And you're really in love with that human being, right? And it typically that is before you get married, right? Because once you get married, that love goes away, right? Yeah. No. It just develops into something else, right? From fantasy into reality, right? But anyway, suppose that that type of love is there. And we're going to assume it's halal, right? So it's not going to go into anything. So let's assume it's there. And you're looking in her eyes and she's looking into your eyes. And as that is happening, she notices that you're also glancing elsewhere, right? There's a game taking place here. There's a discussion over there. What does she interpret that as? How intense is your love? It may not be that intense because you're not focused, right? You're not dedicated. Anything can distract you. So if you really love a thing, if you really, really love a thing, it steals your attention, right? It really takes all of you in, right? There's a piece of poetry, لَكَ أَحَدِيثُ مِنْ ذِكْرَاكَ تَشْغَلُهَا, that, you know, when she talks to you, right, it overwhelms you that you forget to eat and drink. Again, it's fantasy, I understand, it's poetry, it's supposed to be that. But the idea is sound, meaning that when you're really intensely devoted to something, you forget about other things, right? So what he's saying here is that if you truly love Allah Azza wa Jal, if something distracts you and takes you away from Him, you let go of it. Because you don't want the competition. Right? And so the dunya is the greatest competition with Allah Azza wa Jal. So sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, if you're unable to do this on your own, if you're not able to protect yourself from it, Allah protects you. And He protects you by sometimes not giving you that job that you wanted, or that marriage that you wanted, or the children that you wanted, or whatever thing in your life that you wanted. Or He makes you sick, or He makes you this, or He makes you that. And as long as these things propel you back to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah has done you a great favor. Because the dunya, He's going to take it, by the way, eventually, all of it. Right? All of it is going to go away. I mean, we're moaning because I'm not healthy now. Oh, you're not going to have your entire body, ultimately. Oh, I cannot eat. There's going to come a time when you will not be able to eat anything. So Allah takes a little bit now to wake you up. And if Allah is doing this, Allah is protecting you. And finally, the point that I want to mention, inshallah, is to us to appreciate and feel and kind of have this, feel like we are swimming in Allah's protection, or that we want to be swimming in Allah's protection. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best of protectors. Okay, not an alarm that you install, although you can install it, nothing wrong with that. Not the seatbelt, but the seatbelt necessary, so do actually use it. But I'm saying that the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal is such a great and immense and beautiful protection that it's better than all other protection. So feel and ask for that protection, that Allah, I want you to protect me from all evil around me, and I want you to protect me from my own bad impulses, my own bad thoughts and weaknesses. And I want you to protect me from this evil and that evil and this physical evil and that non-physical evil. But feel and appreciate Allah's protection. And that it is the thing that is keeping you alive. And it's the thing that is keeping you a believer. And it's the thing that will keep you close to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But call onto that protection by asking Allah for it, and also by increasing your iman and increasing your tawakkul. Because the greater your tawakkul, and it's really tied to iman, the greater your tawakkul is, the greater that Allah will come to your aid and to your help. If our tawakkul is weak, which means that we don't really trust Allah as much, we're not giving Allah what we need to give Him, and we're not really relying on Him, then Allah Azza wa Jal knows that we're not serious, then the protection will be weaker, the reliance will be weaker, and the defense will be weaker. But you want to be upgraded and to have the best, trust him subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in him, like trust in him that when I ask him, he's listening. And when I give him my burden, he takes away my burden from me. Trust him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you give yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a lot more than what you had given. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and see if you have questions. And again, inshallah, next week, bi'idhnillah, we'll start the halaqa at 6:30, bi'idhnillah, Azza wa Jal. And I will check if we have. I'll give you couple of minutes. Naam. So the first question is this: how do we differentiate between not getting the dunya? And that's a good question. Differentiate between not getting the dunya because we are being lazy versus that we should do more, to get it, versus that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not giving him the dunya because it's not good for us. So laziness, right, can be interpreted at times as, well, that's divine intervention, right? And the difference between them is effort, right? Had you put an effort to get that thing or not? So if you put the effort but you did not get it, then what does that mean? You'd been denied. But if you put no effort at all, right, and then you say, well, Allah does not want to give that to me, then you don't know, right? Second, also think about the reason, and it's always a good idea to think about the intention. Why do you want the dunya? So people could want the dunya for the dunya. But we say there's a better reason, want the dunya for the akhirah, right? Or at least don't want the dunya for a bad intention. Not so that I could be domineering, and that I could be controlling, or I could corrupt, or I could be famous, or I could feel better than other people, okay? And lord it over them, I have and you don't have. So that's a very bad intention, right? And a person could actually sin because of that intention. But if you could seek it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's perfect. Or at least not to earn any haram. But what differentiates is effort, right? How do we protect ourselves from the distractions of the dunya? By looking less at it. By looking at less at it. لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, don't extend your eyes towards the beauty that we had given some of them as a test. So the eyes are the windows into, or, you know, the windows? Yeah, I guess they can be. The windows into the heart. How does the heart know about anything outside? Eyes and ears. So if you're not looking at it, the heart is not going to be distracted by it. And if you're not listening to it, the heart is not going to be distracted by it. The heart is always, the heart is like a mill, like a blender, right? We don't use mills today, but like a blender, right? It's going to blend whatever you put inside. So the eyes are going to insert or introduce something into the heart. So the heart will always be thinking about what it saw, what the eyes have seen, or what the ears have seen, or what you've touched. That's another sensory input into the heart. So if you're not looking at the haram, the heart will not look at it. But also, don't excessively look at the dunya. Oh, here's something new that has just come out, the latest, right, in dresses, the latest in bags, the latest in shoes, the latest in cars, the latest of this. And it's not your profession, it's not your job, it's not something that is increasing you in any way, it's simply frivolous, distracting. So if the only thing you're talking about is the latest fashion and brand, then that's what you're thinking about. So you need to restrain the eye, restrain the ear from always just listening and talking about the dunya. Gatherings where you talk, how much money, where you're traveling, where you just bought the mall, this and that, or the latest car, what I intend to invest. All these things are dunya. So you need to restrict and refrain and instead introduce the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, introduce the Quran, introduce things that are beneficial, right? That's how you do that. So physically, refrain, and what follows, inshallah, becomes easier. I think it's Maghrib, right? Inshallah. So I think I will probably stop here, inshallah. If there are more questions, inshallah, please send me, either send them to me or just write them down, and we'll answer more, inshallah, next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته